Brent Beard, welcome into Tuscaloosa right inside the game. I hope you're doing well.
Yep, we're trying to stay warm down here like you are, but we're doing fine. Ryan, I don't know if this is even being mentioned much, but I've got it as a lead note in my notes is for the 16th year in a row, there will be no repeat champion for the SEC. That was after Auburn loses last week. So if you want even another good example why this league is so good, I think that's it right there.
It's a unique one. 16 straight years that there's not been a repeat champion. Well, and that goes back to the conversation. It's harder to win an SEC title than it is a national title, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And that was Coach Dye's original fault.
Yeah, and by the way, people who are driving around asking, the last back-to-back champion was Tennessee in
97-98. Wow. That puts everything into perspective. Let's talk about this league. Let's start in Tuscaloosa, where everybody wants to talk about Alabama beating Mississippi State. Your thoughts, analysis of that game?
Well, it was a tremendous win, but there's no doubt about it. I mean, Alabama did what they had to do, and then they were able to limit Dak Prescott and Josh Robinson being able to run the ball. That was huge. You let Dak Prescott tried to beat you with his arm. He couldn't do it, and that made a big difference. The energy, the defense has improved considerably. I don't think there's any doubt about that, particularly the secondary is kind of growing up before our eyes at this point. So that was certainly impressive. It was obviously they had a hold on. And Ryan, I'm telling you, maybe the biggest play in that game is the one that didn't happen, where the Mississippi State defender had the free shot at the punt. Look, if he blocks that punt and they get the ball further back instead of having to drive the length of the field, I mean, at that point, everybody in that stadium except State fans are very uncomfortable. So that was a huge point in that game. I mean, there's still stuff that's going to have to be fixed. I mean, Blake Sims is still struggling with his accuracy. I'm not sure O.J. Howard's blocked anybody the whole year. And at the end of the season, that they're going to have to sit down and have a come-to-Jesus meeting with him and decide just what he wants to do in order to get better. If Adam Griffin hits that very makeable field goal, I think the strategy is different in the game also. So, I mean, certainly mostly more positive than negative as far as the game is, but there's still stuff that they need to clean up as they go into this week and next week.
Let me go back to J.K. Scott. You make the argument that he's been the MVP of this football team?
You could. I mean, obviously, everybody's going to say Amari Cooper, but when you've got a weapon like Scott is and you can basically change field position, that is unbelievable, particularly when if your offense is going to struggle, and this one is, the reality of that is field position is huge. It has a lot to do with the safety, obviously. So I think you could make that easily. And look, Ryan, not only is he first team All SEC, he should be on the first team All American team.
Brent, you've been covering college football, and I'm not, by no means, don't take this the wrong way, but you've been covering it a few more years than I have, okay?
Sure.
Okay, so and I don't know the exact number, but I know that you've been watching.
Early 90s, yeah.
Right, and you've been voting in the Heisman Trophy. You understand the awards that come with these players. Is he the best freshman punter you've ever seen?
Probably. I mentioned Ray Guy may have been, but, you know, you had freshman eligibility issues and things like that. And I remember, and by the way, speaking of Ray Guy, I remember when he played Alabama, and Alabama broke his leg. He broke his leg during that game. But the
What year would that have been?
I know it was in the – I'd have to go back. I know it was in the 70s. I remember then, I believe Southern Miss had a 250-pound fullback at that point, and we thought that was the most incredible thing we'd ever seen. Now, you know, he ran a He ran about a 10-second 40, but that was really unusual. I mean, it wouldn't take much to figure it out and when it was, but I remember that well.
Let me get to the other conversation. Before we start previewing other games, I want to go back because this has been the topic of conversation, as you can imagine, here in Tuscaloosa. Auburn laying the egg. That's Pat Dye's words earlier this week against Georgia Bulldogs. What happened?
Two things. One had to do with Auburn, also with Georgia. What's happened with Auburn is Auburn's had this mentality that they could outscore everybody. And what they're learning is, in order to win this league on a consistent basis, you're going to have to play defense. Now, Ellis Johnson's going to be their scapegoat. Auburn, Ryan, at this point, is allowing over 30 points a game in their last five SEC games, nearly 500 yards. Frankly, their offense, their defense is up there with A&M and South Carolina is one of the worst defenses in the league. And Auburn fans mistakenly focused on the two fumbles in the previous loss to A&M. Auburn's problem this year is that they cannot play a lick of defense. And that has finally come on them, and now it's a problem. Now, Texas A&M coming, someone's got the same problem. Okay, that's one thing. The other thing is Jeremy Pruitt did a really good job for Georgia in scheming against Auburn. What also has happened with Auburn is they pay these coordinators in the SEC a heck of a lot of money to figure these things out, and you can't do what you do on a constant basis in this league. They figured out Steve Spurrier, they figured out the wishbone, and they're beginning to do the same thing with Auburn. And the key to beating Auburn is what Mississippi State did, and then they kind of laid the blueprint is you don't let Auburn get outside on the edge. Now, look, they've still got a great offense, so there's no diminishing that, but that's what they have done. Some of these other teams are beginning to figure that out, and that's what Alabama needs to do, too. And what you've got is these 40-yard runs right now are 4-yard runs. So, does that mean Auburn's not dangerous next week? Oh, absolutely they are, and certainly Auburn can win the game. But they won't if Alabama's smart and take advantage of their defense. So you've got a little bit of both. It was a tremendous game plan by Georgia, able to run over them. And frankly, by the end of the game, Auburn, the secondary wanted nothing to do with their running backs. They were gassed and they didn't want to tackle them. So it was a combination of both. And frankly, this defense and situation for Auburn is something that's not going to be fixed in 2 weeks. It's going to take an entire offseason to get this fixed.
So let me bring you this question: Will Muschamp steps away at Florida? Very class way he did it. I mean, you respect that, and I think that'll help him. According to a report out there right now by ESPN.com, Will Muschamp saying, "I want to coach next season." Where do you think he lands? Is there a chance that he would go to the Plains?
Oh, I'm sure anything's possible. I mean, it's not like he needs money. I mean, he's stepping away with about $6 million as a package. So, I mean, he may even take a year off. I doubt it because he's a guy who wants to coach. So, and he'll be a D coordinator next year unless he ends up somewhere where we kind of don't expect it. But Florida handled the situation very well, and with him leaving and his attitude toward it made a huge difference. But frankly, it did not work. He wanted to be Alabama light at Florida, and they didn't have the skill position players in order to do it, and they didn't have the quarterback. They had the defense, which made a difference, but it reminded me a little bit of when Homer Smith was with Gene Stallings in the and how that worked sometimes, how it didn't work sometimes, because I do think Kurt Roper is a very good offensive coordinator, but he'll land somewhere. And, you know, the big question next is who's going to Florida, which is still a very elite job.
Who is? Sorry, Brent. I just want to put you on the spot there.
If I was Florida, what I would do is I'd take a blank check and I'd go to Baylor, and I would sit down with Art Briles. I said, Art, what's it going to take? I know he had been out of Texas. I know he's a little bit older, but they win. and they're very impressive. It would fix the offense problems. Mike Gundy will be mentioned a good bit. Jim McElwain has already been mentioned a good bit. They'll give Bob Stoops a call, but I don't think he'll go. Dan Mullen will be a likely guy, but there's some friction there between Mullen and the athletic administration at Florida. Rich Rod would win the press conference, but he's not their answer. Shanahan's not going. Spurrier's not going. Freeze is a possibility, but Ole Miss is trying to re-up him. And as you know, there was a big Twitter thing coming late this afternoon about the possibility of some interest in Lane Kiffin. That's not going to work either. As a matter of fact, right after I was on the whole show, who put that out about 10 minutes afterwards, and that's the first question he asked me, and I said, I just don't think that's going to happen. But Florida's going after a experienced, winning a championship type coach in this one, because frankly, as good as the situation at Florida, with their AD, I mean, Jeremy's made some very good hires, but his two out of three football hires have not worked with Ron Zook and with Muschamp. Obviously, Urban Meyer did. So this is a huge hire for Florida.
Let me go to Gus Malzahn. How far of a stretch would it be for Florida to make that phone call to the Plains?
Well, I mean, Malzahn has a great reputation, and they're looking for an offensive guy. My question would be, some people have mentioned Bob Petrino. Bob Petrino's not going either. They really don't want anything to do with Petrino's reputation. I think what's going to make a difference for Malzahn is if they improve their defense in the next two or three years and what emphasis that he puts on it. So, could they make a call, third parties reach out to each other? I mean, anything's possible along that line, but because that's a real emphasis for them is they want a coach who's leaning toward the offensive side of the ball.
And you think, I mean, and I've said this a couple of times, I don't think when I look at Ellis Johnson, there's no way this coach is back at Auburn, is there?
No, I don't think he is either. He could be reassigned. What people forget is, and look, Ellis Johnson will forget more than any of us know in our lifetime in any given day. But Johnson struggled at South Carolina toward
struggled
the end of
Southern
his career
Miss.
There, and he certainly struggled at Southern Miss. So and that's important. I mean that side of the ball they've got to get fixed. But he will likely be the scapegoat at the end of the year.
But you know, and this is where I go back to Will Muschamp for a couple of minutes, and we see it at Kevin Sumlin and that style of offense. It puts a lot of stress on the defense.
It does.
And I think that's being underestimated. When you look at it from an advantage, if they score or if they don't score, your defense is right back out on the field.
Yeah.
It may be minute later. It may be 2 minutes later. They score so quick, and then if it's not successful, they're right back out on the field. And when you look at time of possession, any defense, we saw Alabama's, one of the best in the country, get tired because Alabama's offense was not very good in the second half.
Sure. Sure. Oh, yeah. And there's no doubt about it. And it happens. But Ryan, the caveat to that is, even though the defense is back on the field, the problem is in these defenses. The defenses that we have mentioned: Auburn, A&M, South Carolina. These defenses they can't tackle anybody. They have no form. They would prefer to give you the shoulder. And until you have the fundamentals down, that hurts you. And part of that is your 20-hour rule is taking some of that away at this time too. And look, I mean, you can. Let me give you an example of this real quick. Amari Cooper in the next 2 weeks, as good as he is, Ryan, he really needs to work on his fundamentals. And there are times he's not catching the ball with his hands. And that's one thing they need to take some time with him and be able to do that. This one thing you notice about Cooper, as much of a superstar as he is, when he is when he hadn't worked on his fundamentals in a while, that's when he starts dropping balls. And that's one thing that you see with these kids nowadays is they don't spend enough time working on that.
Brent, I'll make it back to the conversation. Alabama, the best team in college football, according to the selection committee. Thoughts?
Yeah, yes. If you're asking me, are they, I would say yes. Now, does that mean that they don't have flaws? Yes, they do have flaws. And those same flaws could still cost them the ball game. But if you're asking me about the most balanced and complete team in the nation, I think that's who it is at this point. Could they beat anybody in the other three teams in the Final Four? Yeah. Obviously Oregon and would give them problems with the fast tempo, but Alabama's going that line of scrimmage. I know they could beat FSU. I don't have any doubt about that. And I know there's controversy with that and all that, but and I'm sure Nick Saban would prefer not to be number one. But are they the best team in America right now? I'd say yes, they are.
You look at the conversation going forward. It's Brent. I'll go ahead and tell you, it's already Auburn hate week here.
Well, it doesn't take long for that to happen. And look, you know good well this team's working a good bit with Auburn, if they're going to tell you that or not. I mean, they've been working on Auburn this year. But I'm telling you, Ryan, you need to underline this, okay? This is something that staff has got to deal with. You go back to 2010, you go back to the game also in 09 at Auburn when they had to win at the end. And you look at last year. When this staff plays Auburn, they coach tight. And that's something they've got to work through, and I don't know why they do it, but they do, and this is something that they have got to be able to work on, because at some point when that happens, that trickles down to your kids. And go back and look at those games, because I know you know what I'm talking about. That to me, if you're asking for the key to the game next week, that is the key to the game. And if they want to win that game, they need to come out with every gun blazing from the kickoff of the first quarter to the game ends, and that's how they need to deal with that game.
Continue to send that message, because there's a big difference between number one and number two. I think Alabama would be very comfortable of going to New Orleans if they win the SEC championship and going to that game to line up for the game to go to Dallas rather than going to the Rose Bowl and going back to Dallas. Very comfortable in New Orleans. They've showed that they can win big-time football games there, even though they didn't get the job done against Oklahoma. So, and I think it would be good for fan support as well, because it'd be a little easier on my budget to try to get to New Orleans than to the Rose Bowl.
I understand. And look, there's going to be a lot of argument about that as far as, if we had to go to the Rose Bowl and or New Orleans, if your team's good enough, they're going to win at either place. I understand the fan situation and as far as the, with your listeners, and someone posed that to me last night on a radio segment that I did, wouldn't that be a real problem for if FSU had to go to and play in the Rose Bowl? My reply was, look, A, all that matters is they're in it, and B, if you're good enough, you win on Mars if you need to do it.
Well, they'd have to go to the West Coast, and they'd have to take on Oregon, which would probably have a – I mean, I'm just looking at it from now, from the standpoint of two against three. They would have to go to the West Coast and play Oregon, which you would think would have a very dominant fan base there.
Oh, yeah, I agree. But Ryan, there are no guarantees for FSU, and they're 2.5 hours away from us. So we cover them pretty closely. Let me tell you something. It would not shock me at all if they lost to either Boston College Saturday or they lost to Florida next week.